Bandwidth for the Weird Things podcast provided by WiredTree. For sites of any size and world-class customer service, head on over to WiredTree.com.
Welcome to the After Things podcast, where we talk about things after weird things, generally speaking. Justin Robert Young.
C.
Brian Brushwood.
Yo.
And I'm Andrew Main. So we spent a lot of time talking about just the new Star Wars films and weird things because we're that dorky. And we will talk about Star Wars Land in a moment, but I have a very important topic I want to talk about here.
Go on.
The big part of what we want to do about After Things is we talk about being creators and the challenges of being creators and the different things we work through and what we learn, a lot of what we've learned, and we're all trying to figure out our way there. I came across a news item that I thought was very interesting that I don't know if you guys are aware of, but you know, it's a very good, you know, it just was just a posting really about a project that somebody embarked upon that was extremely successful, way, way more than you can imagine. And I would love for us to dissect and analyze it because it's inspiring, and I think it might be inspiring to all of us here. And I guess it was a Kickstarter project involving a card game that was like political-based, politics-based.
Actually, I would actually really love to dissect this.
Capital Steps, the card game, available now.
So for those of you that live under a rock, under a tree, Mr. Justin Robert Young, who's actually on the podcast with us right now, along with some other very creative people and talented people, we know he worked with other people because it looks very pretty, came up with a card game based on kind of a apples versus apples, cards against humanity, but based upon the idea that you're trying to debate your friends in a political debate using the cards you draw. They wanted to reach $15,000. The goal was to get $15,000. Oh, the $99 level, Brian, I'm at the 150. But anyhow, they wanted to do...
For the record, that was an intentional middle finger to Justin for not having a $100 item. Like, all of the calculus says that $100 is the single most popular moment or place to be. So I did $99 and I accepted...
Imagine what Bill Gates could have done if he went to college.
Yeah. So anyhow, Justin wanted to try to reach $15,000, and before the thing launched, basically, if they didn't reach $15,000, Justin was pretty convinced, and rightly so, that he'd be a failure, that all this time he spent online interacting with you would have been a complete waste, and he should have stayed in New York filing building permits or something like that, never embarking upon the wild adventure that took him back to Florida and podcasting, working with me and Brian and all this other stuff and meeting new people. That would have been a horrible decision. You would all be worthless to him, and it all righted on finding out if he could meet the $15,000 goal. And did you?
I did, and we did. The contender team has been very excited as we are now barreling towards $73,000. We are closing in on being five times funded. We have nearly 1,500 backers, which is just insane. You know, if you look at where other successful card games, not only through Kickstarter, but afterward, people who just... have successful lifespans on Amazon, we match up very favorably to a lot of those use cases. It is all because of everybody that has listened here on Weird Things and Night Attack and The Morning Stream and so many other podcast outlets. But it's been over the top. It's been crazy.
So I'm going to tell you my analysis of why this has been wildly successful. And I've compared it to some people we know who have been doing some other campaigns that have a huge, huge, huge social media footprint that haven't even, you know, haven't got close to what he's been able to do with his team. Step one, great product.
Yeah.
Great idea, great product. What we see a finished product that looks great, is really well done. A lot of times people jump into Kickstarter with an idea for a product that they could take a lot further on their own before they ask for money, but they don't. They take a half-assed idea and like, oh, yeah, I want to do this. Here's a rendering of what this thing could look like. They won't spend a day trying to make a thing look good. But then they're going to go ask you for your hard-earned money to try to make something launch. And that's the number one. Besides, you know, something unrealistic, I think that's a big mistake many people make with Kickstarters. It's they just get into it half-assed. They won't spend their own effort. They won't spend their own time until somebody else puts money down into it. And that's wrong. You guys put a lot of effort, a lot of time and energy into a great product. It looks good. It's realistic. You thought through the gameplay. I can see the mock-ups or whatever you had done that just look effing great. Pardon my language here. I see a very fully realized thing, and I understand clearly you guys are asking for money to then go print these things. You took it as far as you could in your own spare time to the point you're like, okay, we need money to pay for a press run, not money to sit on our butts for 6 months while we dream up the rest of the game, which people do. Yeah. Like, yeah, I want to do this thing. If you guys pay me a salary to do it, I'll do it. And those things most often fall apart because those people, they can't finish it before they ask you for money. They ain't going to finish it after they got the money.
Part of it is just understanding, and this is a lot of what I've learned from you and Brian, of just, you know, there are hard realities to producing things. That producing things, the exciting part of entrepreneurism is the idea of making the dreams in your head reality, right? The actual wizardry to it is figuring out how you can buy and source and create that kind of stuff. There's a million miles between your dream and the creation. For the contender, we spent about a week and a half debating on whether or not we wanted to do Kickstarter. You know, on whether or not we just wanted to put it out on pre-release and make a big deal about that, or we wanted to do Kickstarter. Kickstarter ultimately was the best decision for us, A, because it gives us a chance to just order bigger and more and better because we have a gigantic amount of capital up front, and because thanks to Exploding Kittens and a lot of other really exciting tabletop games, this is just a place where people are – this is the best card game store on the internet is Kickstarter, so it's just a good place to get found.
It's a great platform too, because you know, when you have a product, and the thing that I've tried to learn, and Brian understands very much from, you know, Brian's having launched a bunch of stuff now, is there's going to be a thing you can buy this thing now early and you get this advantage. Hey, now you can buy this thing, but while you buy it, you know, this is the special window to buy it. And yes, you can still buy it. But that lead up to when you can buy it and doing that really well. And there's that. What's wonderful about Kickstarters, sometimes you want to announce something, but you're afraid to sell it early because, like, oh man, if I don't get my supplier, I get this. I don't want to look like an ass. Here, you're like, hey, we have this thing. If everybody clicks buy and we reach this level, then we collect your money. You know, that escrow sort of idea is wonderful. It's absolutely a wonderful way to do it. And it was absolutely the right thing to put it on Kickstarter, as you've seen, because you also have this period of like 30 days or whatever you want to say of like, hey, it's coming. It's coming. This is the news. This is the news about the news. This is how you can have a whole cycle of playing upon all the little updates, everything else that happens. You have, hey, we're going to launch a Kickstarter on this day. We've launched the Kickstarter. Now we're drumming this up, and there's so much information out there about how to do a really good Kickstarter. You guys have knocked it out of the park. You're at $73,000 right now, or close to that. You've got 14 days to go. You got 2 weeks to go on this thing. And, you know, I think that you're building momentum. You've already been covered in Fast Company. You've got Daily Dot. Your other stuff is coming. I think, I've mentioned to you some people I know who said that they're going to cover it. So yep. I think that you guys are going to 100K. I'm, you know, the tracking and all that, I think, says that you guys are going to hit that.
How close has the reality been to your expectations going into this?
You know, and again, you know, not to blow smoke, but it's having ridden so close to the both of you on gigantic, big, like launching thing deals. Has kind of divorced me from having, I have many visions, right? Like when we started it, it's like, okay, here's the underperforming vision and how we're going to handle it. Here's the moderately successful vision, how we're going to handle it. Here's the successful vision and how we're going to handle it. This has been the successful vision. We are, if now, like, to be honest, I feel more pressure on it now than I would have if we were at like 8,000 with 13 days to go.
Sure.
Because at 8,000, let's just get to 15, you know, and you know, if you look at, you know, how most of the money comes in the first and the last 48 hours, you know, the it would be something that we could just like try to do our best. And if we got up to 20, it would be a huge success. At 73, with nearly half of our time to go, we've proven that it's a product that people that is sticky with people. The idea of politics meets Cards Against Humanity is something that people like. And now the pressure's on to just get as much press as possible, because it's already been shown that the more people just see it, the more people like it and want to sign in. So now it's like, let's really go all out, because the difference between 70 and a quarter million is to me really only in us hustling and just getting people to cover
it. So in that regard, do you mind kind of peeling back the curtain a little bit about, you're doing some counterintuitive things in that all of your stretch goals don't involve money. Where did that come from?
You know, Andrew was
just at 73,000.
You what was that? Just hit 73,000.
Hell yeah. Andrew and I were talking about, you know, the idea of your audience, you know, who you are talking to and what they want and how they want to be talked to. We have found, and this is something that I had kind of suspected in how we deal with stuff. You know, when we talk about Patreon stuff, you know, every once in a while we have number goals, but for us, it's like we're so dealing with house money with Patreon that, like, you know, a lot of the times when we talk about money number goals, it's almost like, ah, look at us, we won the lottery, we keep winning the lottery, this is crazy. But a lot of times when you're really serious about it, you talk about backers and not money, because backers mean money. The more people that you have giving you money, the more likely they are to give you more money. And at that point, you are playing a advantageous game. They're in the tent, and you just need to make them love you. And you're good at that if they're in the tent in the first place. So just keep doing what you're doing, and finances will follow. Well, what we saw with Exploding Kittens, which is the most successful Kickstarter for a card game, and I think probably ever, which made like $14 million or something like that, is that all of their goals, stretch-wise, didn't mention money. They all mentioned backers. They mentioned Facebook likes. They mentioned Twitter likes. You know, they mentioned social engagement, people doing silly things and posting them on their Twitter and Instagram and stuff like that. So basically, once you've hit your stretch goals, you already have a fire. They were just saying, no, gasoline. All we want is gasoline. Forget more fire. Forget whatever. Fire will happen. We just need more gasoline.
That's a great point, because I think the problem what happens is that you make a financial commitment to something. And you're like, all right, I will pledge this much money. And then to go back and say, hey, give us more money, you know, is a challenge. And you can kind of justify it through other means. But if you're saying, no, help us reach people, help us do this other stuff, whatever, I think that's smart. And it's a way to, because how do you get your energized base to champion you even more? And some organizations or some enterprises, they try to just feed off of that group more and more and more until people just go like, I'm out, I'm done, I can't do anymore. Where others, you know, say, okay, help us tell everybody. Obviously, we have proof that this is a great idea. So if you tell other people about it, they'll be glad you did.
Well, and DC TV 41638 says, do both though. But my point is that one follows the other. You know, like you just don't have to say it, and you don't have to make that the focus of it. If you get more Twitter followers and you get more Facebook followers and you get more backers, you will have more money. And in fact, you'll probably make more money than if you said, we need to get to 100,000. We'll never say for the contender that we need to get to a quarter million. In my head, I would like to get to a quarter million, because that would be really, really rad. And I want to do the best thing I can to do that. And to me, the last thing I want to do, I mean, for you guys on the After Things show where we're kind of peeling behind the curtain, I'll say it, but it's like, I'm never going to go on my Twitter and be like, the race to a quarter million is on. Please give me a quarter million dollars. Like that is it turns people off.
It becomes about the money and not about the project.
Yeah.
And that can be fine. But it's when you look at Kickstarters that fail, and obviously a card game's a lot easier than making a drone or making some electronics thing. And for, you know, a bunch of starry-eyed young engineers who want to create something great, there's going to be a hell of a lot of things that are getting in their way. And we need to be forgiving about some of those delivery deadlines being a little bit too optimistic. We don't need to be forgiving about people who don't give you updates, though. People who don't once you give people money or pledge money and then they don't tell you what's going
you
on and they get angry, they're like,
updates.
You don't know what it's like. No, yeah. I don't. I'm just writing you a check. Just tell us, you know, did your guy go to Asia and did he have a trouble finding a right buyer because you realized the factory was lying to you or this or whatever? Tell us.
That's content, bro. That's a fascinating story that we would love to tell us the story of where our money has ended up.
By the way, one of my favorite ideas for a Kickstarter, which was John's, who I worked with on the Contender, is he wanted to do a Kickstarter for enthusiastic production delays. So it would just be like he would raise money, and then once he hit his funding goals, he would just forever write you why these production delays are not coming on time. He would write production delays about his production delays. So it would just be an art project where he would just write about how he's not making it happen. Real quick, DCTV 41638, putting a more likely goal of 100K might mean getting to 100K sooner, which would make the likelihood of getting to 250K higher. You have a higher estimation of me than my mother, and I love you very, 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 very much, DCTV 41638, because I would love to have understood when we launched this this game that we were rocketing toward $100,000. Believe you me, that was unknown to me.
Yeah, and you know, the Kickstarter goal, I think that sometimes people put unrealistic numbers there. Like, well, why not shoot for this? Well, I'll tell you why. Because on Kickstarter, if you don't reach your funding goal, you don't get it. It's not Indiegogo where you get the money. And also, nothing is sadder than a Kickstarter with a really ambitious goal, and you look like 5 days in, 6 days in, it's got $80 or $90, because a lot of people look at
that's poison. That's like,
and also, like, if you're making a card game and people are like, why do you need $100,000 for a card game? You know, this was a very realistic, and I feel better about, oh man, I'm championing something that's going to, we've already blown past this. There's the proof is they said, we think this idea is worth $15,000, and the world said, no, bro, you're worth $73,000 right now. I'm like, well, the crowd's spoken. I'm going to get with them.
And there is there's a marketing element to that. The idea that you are a story, you know, coming from a newspaper perspective and media perspective, you understand that press comes. All the press we've gotten has been personal connections. By the way, we sent out a bunch of emails and we've contacted a bunch of people. We have gotten zero when it comes to that. We had a personal connection with Fast Company. We had a personal connection with Daily Dot. Those are the two biggest things that we did. And then there's a few others that are hopefully coming that have come via personal connection. Now, all of our backer goals are either, there are a lot of creative ones. And the big thing that we're pushing now are pictures with people playing or showing the game in presidential libraries and on the campaign. People who are at campaign events, people who are with candidates, showing off the cards. Because if you're going to get press, that's how you do it. You tell a story. The story of the Contender is that it is a part of the 2016 presidential race.
Right.
It is the game that associates with it.
Well, and that's the exciting thing is not only, you know, have you guys created a good game that ties into something that's in the gestalt that everyone's thinking of, but on top of that, you spend the next 8 to 9 or 12 months at any given moment, the Contender could become the punchline of a debate. It could become something that's just a switch gets flipped and all of a sudden the whole nation knows about it.
You know, and that's the hope. The hope is that we're there and we have shown, what is encouraging is that we've shown the conversion rate. Like, there has been a very favorable conversion of attention to money and attention to action. You know, what's the Glengarry Glen Ross thing? AIDA, attention, interest, decision, action. You know, we have seen a high version of that, which is very very heartening, and to me just makes it, to me it puts a lot more pressure on me to try and make other press happen, because we just know if we get it, there will be fruit. We know that it will bear fruit. All right, so, real quick, Tensukai. Why not Indiegogo? Do you think Kickstarter is the right cachet? It feels more legitimate or what? True story. About 6 months ago, Indiegogo randomly contacted me because they were looking to do surveys about creators on Patreon. They just wanted to understand why creators went to Patreon, what they were looking for, what their benefits were, what the challenges were. They then came back to me and said, hey, listen, if you'd like to put out a thing on your podcast and let other people who donate to your Patreon take our survey, we'll give them all $25 Amazon gift certificates. And I did it. I had a relationship with Indiegogo. I could have went back to Indiegogo and said, hey, listen, would you like to be a part of this? We'll list with you if you can promise us that you'll give us a big push for it. And we didn't, because Kickstarter was just the place. And here's where it bore fruit. This week, they put us out on their email of projects they love. We were listed among two others, and $20,000 fell from the sky. So that was a $20,000 decision to stay, to list on Kickstarter and be successful, to have the chance to be successful on Kickstarter. So that's, I feel good about our decision there.
I think that you know, the momentum there, and I think also that Indiegogo, I think certain projects might be better there, but Indiegogo also has that rep of, hey, whatever we can get, we get. You know, it seems like more of a summer school approach to it. That's a horrible, horrible thing to say. But
yeah, the problem is that Indiegogo created a brand because they were the projects that Kickstarter wouldn't list.
Yeah.
You know, like Brian, you did your scam stuff.
Yeah, no, it's against the rules. Kickstarter, you have to have a physical product that you could show off at the end, and we wanted to start a business, and they said, go get bent. We're Kickstarter. We're assholes. So we went off to Indiegogo, and it was a good thing.
Yeah. And now that would not be the case. You'd be able to launch a business on Kickstarter because they relaxed their rules, which is, you know, as exemplified by the potato salad guy. That was his whole thing, was that I'm just going to make a potato salad because it was the day that they relaxed their rules. And then he wound up making
$1 million. Right on.
Brian, you were a trailblazer.
Sure. a pouty faced business starter. That's what I was.
Well, no, I mean, and listen, Indiegogo, and I don't want to disparage Indiegogo. You know, if it were not for Exploding Kittens, I don't know if the pull to Kickstarter would be like that. But it's hard to turn down the platform that just raised $14 million for a card game.
Sure, sure.
You know, it's hard to do that.
I think each platform has its own sort of strength for why you want to put something there versus somewhere else. And some projects, you know, are going to be much better off over on Indiegogo than that. But I think that it's kind of like the truth is you kind of go with, you know, who's got the big momentum there. You know, who's the giant? And we, Brian and I had this conversation about Facebook getting into video. And, you know, I'm not terribly thrilled about the way Facebook does a number of things, but I'll probably be making some videos just for Facebook because they're really eager to get people to see videos on Facebook right now and probably have a better chance of reaching my audience there than I do elsewhere, even though I may not be like, Amazon. Like, there's a New York Times article on Amazon right now, which it's kind of probably feels like it's not the most well-balanced thing, but you go, man, this sounds like a place I would not want to work for. And my fear as a writer is, in Amazon's version of the future, you know, I'm living in a cubicle in some third world country typing away books, or an algorithm's doing it, and they don't even need us, you know?
Yeah.
But I move a lot of books through Amazon, so that's the beast, you know?
Yeah, certainly so. I mean, I think it's really what's best for the project. And if there's anything that people can take away, it's that you just be realistic, man. The more that you can be honest with yourself and the world around you, the easier life is in every element. And that is very, very, very important when it comes to projects, especially projects with other people. The more that you can just understand where your strengths, where your weaknesses are, and understand what your conversation is with the people that you're talking to or prospectively would like to talk to. You know, like what is the conversation you want to start?
So let's talk for a second about one of the things that's very interesting is, you know, who people like. Your product was a great on-brand product. If you watch the Jury podcast,
yeah,
and we know your brand, the idea that you're a fun guy and you're like, hey, here's a way that we can be fun together and a fun thing. What you like about me, I put this in a box with the help of some other. I don't want to disparage you. You've got some amazing people that contributed to this, which you've done a great job of giving them credit to, but they're strangers to me. They're aliens.
Okay. Sure.
So you created a thing that's very, 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 very much on brand. Okay. I have a following, right? If I went out right now, I'm like, guys, I got a diet book for you. People are like, what?
Yeah.
Like, oh no, I you know the whole thigh sizer thing? I've got a new thigh sizer. It's amazing. Be like, what?
Right. Yeah. You know? Just because it's totally off brand.
Yeah, you know, sometimes things might feel on sort of related brand, and I've seen this with magicians will sometimes say, oh, I'll come out with, you know, a magic trick or something for people. Like, well, most of the people, if you're on TV and people like you as a magician, your biggest fan base likes to see what you do. They're not so much into, I need a deck of cards like you, or I need to buy this magic set, or I need to buy that. And certainly there is an audience that you can capitalize on that. But a lot of times people who have a following, it's not quite on brand for them. I have a friend, Trey Ratcliffe, Stuck in Customs. So Trey's, you know, probably one of those famous photographers there is now on the internet, big HDR guy, et cetera. And I knew him before he got into that. I just ran into him in Philadelphia where he was doing a photo walk. So he had like a huge mob of like a Forrest Gump sized mob to follow him with cameras as they take photographs in Philadelphia. He's done some different things, teaching things like that. He teamed up with Peak Design a month ago to create a camera bag because they looked at like Trey's audience are people who use cameras. Trey is very, very knowledgeable about what makes for good, what makes for bad. They launched a Kickstarter on July 1st or July something, whatever, like so a little over a month and a half ago. They're going to raise $100,000 for the Everyday Messenger, a bag for cameras and essential carry. Tried to raise $100,000. They're over $2 million right now.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
I don't doubt it.
Okay. And that's pretty amazing. So Trey, who's got a huge, huge fan base, a huge group of people who follow him for his photography stuff, teamed up with some people that, you know, are probably known for creating great products, but maybe don't have that specifically energized fan base like he does. And the two of them work together to create an amazing thing. Justin had a great idea for a project, a great idea for a card game. Justin's drawings in illustrative capacity haven't lived up to the potential yet.
I was waiting to see where that was going to go.
Okay. But Justin plus a team of people who are amazing at it and good at figuring out card play and all that, amazing product. So Trey, great card brand. I mean, great branding, great everything, teams up with Peak Design and helps promote this thing. And it's a gorgeous camera bag. And like you can buy one of these suckers for, you know, what is this? It's like $200 or whatever was the $195. You got one of these bags where it's going to come out at like $250, right?
That's huge, man. That's amazing.
It's got a clip on the side so the camera can plug into it on the edge there. If you're a photographer and you see this thing in this gorgeously produced video, fantastic produced video, you're like, oh, hell, you know, I want to have one of these.
You know, that was a huge thing for us was trying to figure out what our Kickstarter video should look like and to the level of which it should, you know, what does a successful card game Kickstarter look like versus a successful camera bag video look like, you know, for physical products like that, the bar is extraordinarily high. You know, it is television commercial high. You need to hire professionals to make sure that it looks this good. For card games, even successful ones, in general, you can make it a little bit more vloggy. But it's certainly you know, something that we needed to pay attention to. Because if card game videos looked like this video that we're watching right now, and you can go ahead and see.
Aerial drone shot of a guy climbing a peak in the Golden Gate Bridge in the background.
Yeah. You know. It would be something that we'd have to do. You know, if you wanted to be successful, you got to at least be in that world, you know, in that neighborhood.
And now we're getting a big part of that. You know, and you know, you look at the things they did right in this video. You see the team of people working on this. So you understand, like, oh, wow, you know, it's not just a guy in his basement. It's like, I've just been waiting for somebody to bet on my dream.
Yeah.
You know? Well, and that's the thing is a successful campaign oftentimes gives a very clear, very direct message to the backer that says, here is your personal benefit to being a part of it. And in the case of the contender, it's like, you know, this is you laughing with your friends, having this novel new experience. In the case of this, it's like, this is you carrying your bag and being, you know, taking awesome photos of the.
Well, and it's also like a video that expensive says, if we spent this much on a video,
yeah,
your bag's not going to fall apart 5 days when after you get it.
Correct. Correct.
You know, we probably know what quality is.
I got it. So in Trey's website on Stuck in Customs, he had the announcement for the bag. And so the first comment is, B-Dog writes, that bag is nice, but way too, T.O., expensive. I backed the smaller bag, would love the bigger one if it was in the $100 range. Trey writes, thanks for your feedback. Next comment from B-Dog. Last few days, I mulled it over and decided to pledge for the messenger bag. It's just too beautiful and functional.
That's amazing.
Well, so Tensor Guy says, so spend on the video. If you have a high-margin product, it would harm your ability for people to think that they're going to get a good quality product if your video sucks, if it looks like it was made by your five friends. Because then there is a perception that your five friends are the one making this high-margin product. For a deck of cards, it's a different story.
Well, but even still. So, Brian, can you go full screen on me?
Yeah. Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, taking the floor.
So you want to plan your video. This is not what you want to do. So we're launching a Kickstarter for a pen. Not just any pen. This is the super pen because this end you can use as a touch thing, and it's great. And we hope you like it. Can they hear me?
No, it's funny because there's all those social cues, right? It's social proof is what we're...
There we go.
Iron Man attacked me. Our smartest heroes are jerks.
That's amazing.
This is the best Kickstarter video ever.
I'm still in character, guys. As I was saying, and that's like when you get the ones where they do the recording and they're like, audio on yours, I noticed there was a couple of you guys are way the hell away from the microphone, but it wasn't for the whole thing, you know?
There was a lot of sweetening. We used a room mic where we probably, if we were smarter and could do it again, we would be smarter with audio than we thought, because that room was a lot echoier than we thought. But you
showed it being played. You put effort into it. You had some extras. Some were more talented than others. You put a lot of effort into it. There was a lot of humor and it moved and it did like that. Compare that to like our really crappy Patreon video, you know,
yes.
Where it's just us doing like, give us money for Patreon. Yay. You know,
but the role of those two are far different in my opinion. Kickstarter very often is a first impression. Mm-hmm. Kickstarter videos get shared on Facebook, you know, and people back them immediately, right. Once they see it.
Patreons are a collection dish. The plate's being passed in the middle of church, and now it's your thing. Like, hey, you've enjoyed the sermon so far. Now's the part where you throw some money in, and which is different.
But yeah, and more specifically, it's like you know who these people are. Elements of their charm.
You've already been partaking in it to begin with.
Yeah, like this is... The majority of the people that have given us $73,066 so far don't know who the F word I am, John is, Meg, or Fawn are at all. They all think that we are equal strangers. And so anything that I say or John says is representative of the game until we show gameplay.
I'm going to ask you a question here, though.
Yeah.
So what's amazing here is looking at like your contribution level. You have almost 1,000 backers at the $35 level, and then you have almost half as many above. You know, you've got 54 backers at the 150 level. You got 250 at at 55. You've got, you know, it's interesting, like almost, you know, only 22 went for the jump from 35 to 55, almost, you know, 22 for 40. But anyhow, you've got 1,000 people who, you bought a bunch of people, way more people skipped over the first level, the $25 level.
Yeah.
What percentage do you think these people, and by the video looks really, really good. The video looks really good. What percentage of people do you think know who you are, knew who you were before?
I think we got to 15,000 with people who knew who I was.
Okay.
I would say, to take a guess, we got probably 20 to 25,000 from people who know who I am and have heard me on some level. The rest of it has been network effect.
How much of that network effect that was motivating people who knew of you but then saw it in some other means and go, oh,
yeah, no. Yeah. And in that level, I mean, I couldn't make a guess, but I think that certainly helps. Inspiring passion in people that listen to your stuff enough that you feel that there is a trusting relationship, that they want to spread the word on something and you're not begging them for it, is gigantic. It's the only thing that I think matters in this kind of new weird internet economy thing. And it is the great benefit of trying to be a good person in public, you know, because if people think that they are part of it and they're not just being taken advantage of, then, you know, I know that's how I want to be treated. I want to feel good about the stuff that I give money. And also with Kickstarter, I want to get the thing I pay for, which is very rare. And I guarantee you everybody will get the contender. There's not going to be any crazy China, like kind of production delays. You will get it. It will not be a problem.
So speaking of which, like logistically, did you have stuff figured out in advance? Yes. You know, like various tiers, like, well, if we make this much, we'll go with these guys. This much, we'll do these guys.
Well, no, we had all of our stuff sourced. You know, we're working with the same company that does Cards Against Humanity, Ad Magic. We're going to rely on Amazon for all fulfillment. They do shipping stuff, and it'll allow us to just send a big old pile of stuff to Amazon because they're just going to be our reseller after that. So we're not going to have to deal with fulfillment except for the larger levels when we're sending buttons and posters and stuff like that. We had an idea. Really, the biggest question now was where our point was, where we reinvest. There's certainly a point where we're like, all right, we all got a couple thousand dollars. We made a card game. High five, everybody. Let's drink some rosé. And then there's the other point where it's like, do we have a business? Because we should probably put money back into the business to continue to produce stuff, especially through the end of the 2016 election.
Dude, and that's actually
those
really
are the
good
numbers that we're hitting now.
Yeah, no, that's actually a really good point, because that's the most people don't begin with the possibility of success in their mind. They begin with a minimum viable product. They're like, oh, well, if we hit this, we'll, you know, cross the line and then we could do the thing. But then you suddenly realize, oh, crap, we're in charge. We have a brand now and this is an ongoing thing. And people didn't suddenly stop liking it just because we crossed this arbitrary goal that we started with.
Oh, absolutely. And that is where a lot of the people that I'm working with, you know, are just invaluable. John is a tremendous numbers guy. Megan Fawn are both, small business owners. They run their own design firm that they have to deal with the realities of, you know, money coming in and money going out. I am the most irresponsible of us, and I am conscious enough about these issues that I am not a hindrance, hopefully. So it's thankful that I have those kind of partners. If I'm the weak link in the, like, let's dream big and be careful about it and make sure that we're doing it responsibly, then I think we got a pretty good team.
Right on.
Where was the pick? How did Kickstarter select you? And what was it, an email they sent out or?
Yeah, somebody just put it in the chat room a little bit ago. But yeah, it was an email of Projects We Love. It was like Shaping Your World. We were also a Kickstarter staff pick, but apparently we heard rumors that they frown upon people putting that in their picture, and that people who are Kickstarter staff picks, very often get delisted if they put it on their picture. I don't know if that's true or not, but we decided to play it safe and take off the like Kickstarter staff pick thing.
I'm trying to find. I don't know if I got that email from them. Do you know when that came out?
I believe they stagger it because people were reporting that they were getting it over a period of 2 days.
What I mean, what would am I talking yesterday, a week ago? The day 2 weeks before. Ago? What's that?
Yesterday and the day before.
Okay, cool. All right. Because I'm curious to see, and I wonder if they, I guess maybe they target them too, because I'd love to compare you to the other ones to see how well did the other ones benefit. What are, because I'm looking at some of these ones that have been funded, you know, that did not get the jump that you got.
Yeah, I mean, again, I really cannot say enough in all due humility. I believe we have a tremendous opening pitch. Cards Against Humanity for Politics is just something that is sticky, is prescient, is of the moment.
I don't see it happening, Justin. I don't think it's going to work.
Ha! So, I mean, I think that's huge. And it's why just the more attention we get, the more, you know, that we get people to put it in. So it wouldn't shock me people who got the same sunshine we did didn't make as much hay. Because, you know, if you look at the other two things that are on that email that we have made more than, they both have more esoteric ideas.
So you're saying we got to do a Weird Things one. Got it.
Ha! Dude, like, so here's pulling back the curtain, and we can kind of wind down on this, because I do have to take a shower and fly to Austin. I have, dear After Things listener, grown up, you know, in my life emotionally and in business wise as with a very independent mindset that you can make your dreams a reality inside your own ears. And the two of the biggest examples are the other people on this podcast, Andrew and Brian. Part of what I have tried to do over the past couple of years has been to just create something that people can latch on to. You know, I have this very deep-seated religious belief that there is a benefit to this new media thing and that the connections that we make on this show and every other is important, and that can lead me to an independent financial situation. But what I've learned and been very careful of is with Brian and Andrew, and as Andrew was pointing out before, he can't come out with a diet, you know, a diet thing, or he can't come out with a Thighmaster, because that's not what people want to buy. It's not what people who give a shit about Andrew want to buy from Andrew. Brian has created a small, burgeoning, growing empire in scam stuff. And part of what you've done with that is realizing exactly what people want to buy from scam stuff, because you could have gone the route of any other magic retailer and just bought the hot magic tricks via a wholesaler and sold it at, you know, online retail and just kind of done that. And that would have been X amount of successful. You have been more successful, in my opinion, because you have understood, whoa, hold on. People really want this kind of lifestyle, you know, maybe fudging the edge of, you know, safe or you know, nice to have, you know, semi-dangerous kind of products. You have stayed exactly within the brand and your lane and done very well for it.
Well, and this sort of takes us full circle back to the Star Wars thing, because like the toughest part of the job, you know, if scam stuff is any kind of success, it's because of our curation, and curation means saying no. And it's like, that's the hard part of the job, is saying, no, that's not good enough. That's too dorky. That's too geeky. That's something I would picture a 3-year-old doing. And, but saying no, you know, strengthens the voice and so on. But yeah, that's kind of you to say.
Well, and Andrew, like, I watched products do well with Andrew when you know, selling it on the website for Magic Effects. I've seen projects do well. I've seen projects not do so well. I've seen, you know, what the difference is and us understanding what people want to buy and what they want and what they don't. And ultimately what we found with Andrew's products is that the greatest brand value was his brain and his ingenuity, that you know, you buy an Andrew Main product, what you are going to do is bridge the gap between what you have. You can maybe build it with a, you know, you don't need to, you know, spend hundreds of dollars or thousands of dollars to build something. We will bridge the gap for you with ingenuity. You know, that is the product that we are selling, is that Andrew is a great mind for this. And you can bridge the money gap with ingenuity. Those are the things that did extraordinarily well for us. And so for me, the question has always been, if I'm going to sell a physical product, what is it? And I kind of had it in the back of my head for the last couple of years that card games were kind of were possibly it, because they are so creator dependent lately in the last 5-10 years. They are very personality driven and they are small price margin. Like, you're not going to spend more than, you know, you're getting collector's editions for $55. In general, you can probably buy it for $25, something like that. And that fits the audience I talk to, what the audience that I talk to likes about me. And I'm glad you see that it's paid off. But it's something that I've thought about quite a bit.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm looking at Exploding Kittens, and it's, you know, you hear the number, you know, they made $8.7 million. Are they? I mean, it's the project has got that, obviously. Yeah. That's their costs. 219,000 backers. 219,000 backers. The bulk of them, 200,000, the NSFW deck, which... Listen, guys, don't litigate, but...
Yeah.
And that's an amazing thing. What's that?
Yeah, no, the NSFW day.
Yeah, I mean, and that's a you know, this is the biggest... There's only been $2 million decks that I found so far thumbing through here on Kickstarter. This and Hex MMO. But, you know, the... And it's certainly fascinating to see that. Like, in breaking down, you know, you have... Exploding Kittens was a great mix of several people who already had huge online bases, you know, Elon Lee, The Oatmeal, Shane Small. And so, you know, between the three of those people tying together, everybody like, you like our brand. Look what happens. We put this together. You know, that's an amazing thing. So I think going forward is you chose wisely, sir. You planned things wisely. You did a very good job. And I'm just very beaming with pride over, you know, what you've done there, annoying you.
Well, you know, listen, it's all
part of the plan.
It's all part of the plan.
You are in the top 36 of all time Kickstarter card games, I think, as far as raising money.
Oh crap, are we? Where's that list? That's something else for me to obsess weirdly over.
I typed card games into Kickstarter and I started counting. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. I mean, like the top 50 or 60. But anyhow,
sure. I would, yeah, I would be shocked if we were in the top 40. That'd be crazy.
I think you're pretty close to getting to there though, because if you look at like you would be surprised. Maybe you wouldn't. I don't know. But anyhow, a very good lesson. So. Part of what I've taken away from this is have your product as fully formed as you possibly can. Take it as far as you can until you need, you know, you're ready to go. Like, all we need now is just the money to make this thing happen. You know, don't go half-assed. Don't bring half-assed there.
Well, and you know, the thing for me is like, be in touch with what you want. As a consumer, I back a lot of crap on Kickstarter. And there's some stuff that I am very frustrated with. Coin, for example. Let me take a gigantic dump
definitely,
on coin.
Definitely backed coin.
Backed coin.
Regret it.
I've got nothing. I am, you know, technology has now effectively lapped its usefulness. I would still like it because I paid for it. That has been a complete breach of trust. And now everybody that is involved in it, including the video production company that did the awesome commercial for which I love so much that I gave it $200, is just completely persona non grata for me. I can't deal with them. And that frustration has very much informed that we want to, like, it is a personal mission to get them, get anybody who buys this, their cards ASAP.
Yeah. I look at some of the stuff, some of the technology things that I funded, that were supposed to be delivered like last year, like we backed AirVR.
Yep.
Which, that was estimated delivery. Yeah, mine was December 2014. I already bought a thing that does this thing on Amazon for $20, you know?
Yeah.
And then it's, you look at their updates, and their last update was May, you know? And so May, June, July, August, September, August, you know, we're 3 months behind, quarter, you know, a whole quarter behind, and there's been no update about where that thing is. And I get it. These things fall behind. These things sometimes aren't where you would like them to be. But when you shut, and part of what happens is you get a lot of infighting within the people. There's a lot of shared responsibility, then a lot of ducking responsibility. And nobody wants to step forward and say, this is what it is, and be the person that's the public brunt of that. But it can be frustrating, you know?
It sucks, and it's something that I very much don't want to be a part of, and it's the reason why we were so close. I mean, again, we were close to not doing Kickstarter. That's how close we were to just printing these things, and we decided to do Kickstarter because it would be better for the project, and we'd be able to get more cards in every base deck if we just had a gigantic pile of money up front that we wouldn't have to have people buy add-ons to it. We could just give more crap in the main deck if we just had a big pile of money up front. So, and don't even get me started, but Waffle Avocado says to Brian, all the video games by big gigantic names that have been total letdowns. I mean, that's a goddamn haunted house of people that have just raised ridiculous sums of money that have been completely squandered, including, I mean, we're friends with Terpster at Yogscast. They had a whole game that they raised a gigantic amount of money on, and it just went away because they couldn't, they were at a different phase of development than I think they would have wanted to if they could do it over again. They would want to have a game close to done and then raise money for it, as opposed to raising money to develop a game when you can't trust these developers.
Yep.
I gotta go because I gotta get to the airport.
Go. Bye.
All right, dude. That was awesome.
Lingers like that, Brian. It's really awkward and
congratulations.
Weird.
Congratulations. And everybody head on over to thecontender.us and tune in later on for me and Justin to goof around. Andrew, how's it been?
It's been good. Been a lot of traveling. I went out to Joshua Tree to go look at the stars.
That's right, Andrew. It's been after. Bye.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.